It's Tuesday, January 23rd, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hey, everyone, I got a great show for you tonight, and it's pretty early here in Honolulu, but needless to say, it's going to be a fun ride. Strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast. My name is Todd Cochran, and we're coming to you as live as it can be from historic Ford Island here in Honolulu, Hawaii. How's everyone? I tell you what, it was a wonderful weekend. I got a lot done, and some of you even noticed I got some video up, and you said I got some emails from people saying, hey, you must have got your term paper done because I'm seeing videos pop up on the website. Well, I did get one of two term papers due, and it's been turned in, and I have another one due next week, so I've got one to finish up this week, but I took the opportunity to take care of some, you know, getting some videos up on the website, and I think I've got day one videos all put up. So I've got a lot more to go through, but they'll get up as I get to them, I guess. That's the way it's going to work. But I do know the vendors are starting to notice because I'm getting LinkedIn and coverage on some of the actual vendors that we interviewed websites, which is pretty cool. And it's going to be some very interesting reporting back to them to tell them the actual impact that the interviews had and how many times they were downloaded and impressions and so forth. But otherwise, the weekend was, had spent a lot of time, taking care of some things around here. It really, really was. It was busy. I had a bunch of stats to take care of. You name it. It was, whatever I had on the agenda, I did. Plus I had some, honey to do list items. The wife had, collected quite a stack for me because, you know, prior to the Consumer Electronics Show, I was fully engaged and getting ready to go to that. And some of that stuff, got put to the wayside. And she was like, Saturday afternoon, honey, come here. I have some work for you to do. And fellas, you all know how that is. And when the wife calls with the list, you close the laptop and you go down and you take care of that. All right, did a Sherry cast with my mom Sunday afternoon. It was real late her time, and that turned out real well. We had kind of a back in the saddle type of show. So those of you that have been following the Sherry Cast, go over there and check out Sherry Cast at sherrycast.com. And I want to thank everyone. Got a lot of feedback this last show, and everyone definitely appreciated that I'd had some extra sleep during the week. So I'm hoping tonight's show turns out as good as the last one did. Also, I'm getting a lot of feedback from people talking about the new website design. And we do know that the site speed, loading speed, is being hampered a little bit right now by all the videos I'm putting up on a website. Typically, I don't have this much video on there. And what's going on there is that it loads all the text, then it loads the videos up, then it launches about two or three instances of JavaScript. And you notice sometimes the titles fire at the last, and we're trying to come up with a solution around that, but it's all based upon how the sequence of what the browsers load the images and fire the JavaScript within the website. And right now, though, the main page is taking much longer to load than I want it to, but I really don't want to cut down the amount of content on the front page to less than 3 days. And that's kind of where we're at right now. I guess I'll just continue to weigh this and see how it goes. Do have the Clearwire modem here in the house now, or I guess a Clearwire wireless connection. I did have an interesting experience going to the to see the folks at Clearwire. Tony over there at Clearwire had hooked me up with the demo unit. and found out that it worked good here in the house. I've had between a 2 and 4 bar reception rate with it, so it all depends, I guess, on the time of day. But went over to their corporate office here in Honolulu, and when I was there, I was talking with the lady a little bit. She goes, "Well, someone over near where you live wrote up a review." And it was kind of funny because Clearwire Corporate in California had picked up on it and sent it to everyone at Clearwire here in Honolulu, and they wondered who the mystery blocker was. And when I informed them that it was me, well, I got a free hat out of the deal. Didn't get any discount on my service. I was kind of hoping maybe to put that hook in there, but that didn't work out. But I'm glad the Clearwire folks were able to, they thought that the review was good, and hopefully they'll add some customers. It is going to be kind of interesting to see how this thing works. Now, what I'm looking for, and are any of you running dual WAN routers? You know, I just recently replaced the router that I've got, so I'm not excited about going out and buying another router. Kind of, you know, I got a good router down there. I don't necessarily need to get rid of it. I've got I believe what I have down there is a Netgear firewall router right now. It's an 8-port. But what I'm probably end up going to doing is I'm just going to go ahead, and I've got an old router here in the house, and I'll set up a separate, maybe I'll put it on the same subnet, just give a different IP range. I haven't quite figured out what I'm going to do, but I definitely want to make sure that the computers I put on that still can reach the computers that are on the primary network. But I thought one of those dual WAN routers would work good. If you've got any experience with those, how do they handle the load balancing? Does one run primary and the other one take over when the other one gets slow? I'd really like to hear some feedback from somebody that's got one of those. And if you're running it in a configuration like I'm considering, by having my cable going into one WAN input and then the Clearwire box going into another, just wonder how that works. And if you have experience with that, drop me a line for sure. Okay, we're ramped up on Sunday, this coming Sunday, actually the 20th, let me look at the date here on the website at techpodcast.com. Sunday, January 28th, we're going to be having another roundtable, and Adrian Bacon will be presenting his experiences with the day-to-day switching to Mac and OS X, and also details on his take on the new Apple TV. Tim Verbotten is going to be providing the Mac freeware application that every OS X user needs to have on their Macs. That's going to be a two separate 15-minute presentations. And then we're going to have a representative in from JuiceCaster. Andy McCassie's got that set up, and they've actually done a training session with the rep to make sure he's good to go with GoToMeeting. So we're going to have JuiceCaster in demoing their service. I think it's something you all need to check out. Now, seating at that event for the live interactive portion is going to be extremely limited. And we'll be on a first-come, first-served basis for the interactive portion of the event, and you'll have to go to Tech Podcast Sunday afternoon in order to get the link to get into the actual GoToMeeting session. We're going to be kicking off at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Pacific, or 2 p.m. Honolulu, or Hawaiian Standard Time. So 2 p.m. HST is actually GMT minus 10. So some of you can make a basis upon, you know, your basis on your, or it actually would be, could be 7 p.m. Eastern's GMT minus 5, I believe. So you can kind of base your decision on if you want to attend or not on what part of the world you're in. But we're going to be using a talk shoe for the audio portion of that, and it's best if you have a dual screen. It's really, really cool because you run the GoToMeeting session in one screen and the talk shoe client in the other. And it's like you get the back channel discussion of what's going on during the actual live interactive event within GoToMeeting. Now, if you don't get in, if the seats fill up and you're not in on the GoToMeeting session and the room is full, then we'll have a stream up, and you'll be able to see the video later, of course, when we get it processed. But, of course, we're going to be using GoToMeeting, the world's best web-based conferencing tool. And you're going to get to see how impactful this application is by us being able to switch back and forth between presenters and highlight stuff and point stuff out. It's just like being there. So you can check it out. If you want a 30-day free trial yourself, go to GoToMeeting.com/techpodcast. GoToMeeting.com/techpodcast. Now, I've been, I talked about a little bit about a new promotion that's going to be going on. I don't know if I discussed it at all on here on the show or not, but we're real happy. We've gave our first batch of podcasters over at blueberry.com their promo codes, and tomorrow they're going to be launching a new promotion for GoDaddy.com, and this is going to be about hosting. So if you're looking for a hosting solution, there's going to be a bunch of podcasters passing out some promo codes for discounts on hosting over at GoDaddy, and I hope that you get a chance to check that out as well and support those podcasters if you're looking for a hosting account. It's our biggest promotion ever with nearly 400 podcasters that are going to be participating in that, and we're real happy to be able to help some of those guys monetize their shows, and we're real happy with the results. And we thank GoDaddy, of course, for being a very strong supporter of the podcasting space and, of course, of my show and the network over there as well. But, of course, domain names from GoDaddy.com are up to 70% less than the competition. And you can get your own over there. And when you check out, you can either use the code TODD and save an additional 10% in your order, or use the code GEEK5 and get an additional 15% off your order of $20 or more. And that's the best code if you order a couple of domains and, you know, just whatever you get there. Anything is $20 or more, use GEEK5 anytime on TODD. Some restrictions apply. See site for details. All right, what have I got tonight for us here? I've got a whole bunch of stuff. I really, really do. Let me go over. I got that, got that, got that. Oh, one last thing. You know, it's January, and would you believe that we, I got on the phone last week and called the Marriott in Ontario for the September podcast and new media expo that's going to be going down for 3 days, I believe, starting on September 28th. And I called the Marriott, and we were going to reserve the biggest room that they, or biggest suite they had there. And I, when I got on the phone with the lady, she goes, "Oh, sir, I'm sorry. All the suites except for one are sold out." You know, last year this time, all the suites were available, and I just about fell out of my chair. And they said, "Well, you better put me down for that." And she goes, "Well, by the way, rooms are moving fast as well. So I reserved 10 rooms. We've got a huge number of people that are going to be coming out to Expo in September. So we're looking forward to that event. That's our main event of the year, of course. And we're long, long ways off. But, you know, it's just like, oh, my goodness, we're already ramping up for that. And the talking with Tim over at TNC Media, we got our booth actually reserved. I faxed that paperwork in today. We're going to be in a corner booth this year. And right next, essentially, one spot down from where we were last year. So I think we're going to be in a great position again. And, gosh, you know, all that stuff is forthcoming. But, all right, I've talked enough on this stuff. Let me move forward here. But if you're going to go to Expo, call the Marriott and get your rooms reserved, okay? And make sure that you ask for the PME rate. It's $99 a night, all right? Get over there and do that. If you don't, you may have to not, you may be staying somewhere else where the party isn't. The party's going to be at the Marriott, all right? All right, let's get started here. I've got, well, the browser, okay, there it loads. Engadget was reporting on the 20th that Microsoft Windows Vista Ultimate Limited Number Signature Edition is going to be available. And if you want a limited edition Ultimate version, that is signed by Bill Gates himself, I'm sure it's just some digitally imprint of his name, they're going to have 20,000 copies of this available. And it doesn't look like the price is any higher than the normal price for Windows Vista Ultimate. But I just can't. You know, what do you do with the box? The box is like last in my house about 2 hours in there in a trash can. If I kept all the boxes for software, I wouldn't have room for it all, but that's why I've got CD carriers and stuff. Do you guys keep your boxes? I don't keep my boxes, you know. And I guess if I had one that was really signed by Bill Gates, it was physically signed with, you know, him actually signing it, I might keep it and sell it on eBay in 10 years if it's worth anything then. But if you want to get a limited number edition, for those of you that are diehard Windows users, you definitely want to check out the article over on Engadget. Now, there was a great article written by the Windows Vista blogging team on the content production of Vista. And it was put up by Nick White, and it's a very, very good article, and they kind of dispel some of the things that have been talked about on Windows Vista content production. So I think you ought to check this out. It talks about HD usability and being able to play it, et cetera, in Vista. Great article. I'm not going to go super deep into this article, but I'm sure some of you are going to maybe say, okay, I can live with that. Some of you may say, well, why have they tied this thing down so tight? But we're 3 days away from, excuse me, we're 7 days away from the Windows Vista launch. And how many of you are going to go out and get a copy of Windows Vista? Now, I did preview the voicemails today, and I got scolded by one of the listeners tonight. But we are going to talk a little bit about his comments where I had indicated that you're going to need a newer machine to run Windows Vista Ultimate and get all the great graphics. But we'll talk about his comments here in a few minutes, actually near the end of the show when I play it. But check out this article from the Windows Vista blogging team. Remember, I talked last week about a new website called Genie, G-E-N-I.com. It's a site that you're going to be able to essentially set up a genealogy site where it's all visual within the web, a real cool Web 2.0 type site. Well, it appears that those folks have really gotten slammed, and they didn't have enough server infrastructure put in place. You know, it's all a good thing that they were able to have the type of traffic they've had, but they've got some unhappy customers because of some lost data, possible lost data, and, you know, just the website has been slow, slow, slow. So I knew this was going to be a big hit just by the look of it when I went over and played with it. They do have some issues with some of the genealogy links and be able to retain certain data. But, you know, it's a new site, so we'll see what happens. And I'm happy for them. I'm glad they've had a great launch. And if you're a genealogist, you'll definitely want to check out genie.com at G-E-N-I.com. All right, those of you that are WordPress users, you probably already know this, but WordPress 2.1 is available. It's on the street. They've made some cool changes to the system. You now are never going to lose a post. They've got an autosave feature. They've got a new tabbed editor. Allows you to switch between what you see is what you get and code the actual base code. It's got lossless XML import and export. It's got a new search engine privacy option. Just a whole bunch of different stuff, including a lot of stuff with Ajax. They've refined the MySQL database in the system. So, and what's even more interesting is that they're going to go to a much more aggressive update cycle, and they're actually saying when their next version is going to be available, and they're saying April 23rd. Tell you what, the folks over at Six Apart and Movable Type, they could definitely take some lessons from the WordPress folks on rollouts and get new features into their system, because they've got some great ones here. Those of you that have got WordPress blogs, you'll definitely want to check out the new features. Now, you know, the thing that bothers me the most, I guess, about WordPress blogs, and I'm sure some of you on this in this audience have WordPress sites, but have you went out and actually had someone skin you or design you your own site? Have you made your own site and made it look different? WordPress sites, and maybe it's just me, maybe mobile type sites look the same as well, but it just seems to me that they all look the same. Now, I'm sure I'm going to get blasted. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people sending me emails saying, yo, my site's completely different. It doesn't look like a WordPress theme site. But I don't know. I just see so many that look the same. I'm actually kind of bored at times. But I did, I will tell you this, in the new version of Geek News Central, we've removed some of the functionality that I was requiring that was integrated into Movable Type. So I may at some point, if I decide I'm tired of Movable Type, be able to switch to WordPress relatively easy and have the skin move with me with a minor annoyance of having to go through and rename the tags. But it's you know, they're making it more and more impressionable to me each day to actually upgrade. But I tell you, I absolutely love the tags feature in Movable Type and some of the stuff that they've got going there that I can do back end wise that WordPress still today cannot do. And multi-blogging on one blog also helps, or one blog install also is something I really like. And but those of you that are WordPress users, check out WordPress 2.1. It's in the house. All right, despite 100 million IE7 downloads, it appears that Microsoft is still losing ground to Firefox. The Firefox share of the U.S. browser market is at 14% and has continued to grow each of the last 3 months. And this is according to one research firm. And I'm not surprised. I'm really not. You know, I've loaded IE7 probably 4 or 5 times because I've had to. Or if I'm looking at site, you know, I went and looked at, I always checking stuff over on Blueberry or on any of our sites that we're working on. I try to check in as many different browsers as I can. And that's a challenge, you know. It's such a challenge trying to make your site perfect for all the browsers. And it's even a thing that we've run into with the new rollout of GNC. But I did get one comment back from someone say that I need a new logo. Well, if you've got an idea for a new logo for the Geek News Central website, hey, you know, put your ideas together, and, you know, if someone comes up with something cool, I'll, you know, throw them a bone, throw them a t-shirt or something. Now, speaking of which, I still need some feedback. I think I've got 3 or 4 sites that have actually sent me, and because I know it's more than this, 3 or 4 sites have sent me emails saying, hey, Todd, I linked to you during your time at CES and drove traffic to you. I've been in contact with probably 10 or 12 of you already. But I know there's more out there. I definitely need your email. So if you haven't heard from me, drop me a line, geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, if you always got comments about the website, 619-342-7365. All right, Wired is reporting that Blu-ray DRM has been cracked. Now, this shouldn't become a surprise because we know that the plain text exploit used to crack the HD DVD a couple of weeks ago was brought to bear on Blu-ray by the same gents this weekend, and it worked really, really cool. So here we go. Again, you've got both Blu-ray and HD DVD now toting to be officially cracked, and I'm sure that the MPAA is not happy about this. We have been seeing some HD DVDs starting to show up on BitTorrent sites as well. So the movie industry, you know, all the work that they put into the DRM has definitely went to waste because, you know, I figured it would take longer than this. I really did. But here's the question. How long before Vista is completely cracked when it's out there? And I know there's some stuff running in the wild already, but, you know, there's some people that just won't pay for software, and the it's a challenge for people to go out there and just do what they've got to do to get it for free. You know, buy your software. You know, really do. Support those people out there that are creating applications. And, you know, ultimately, it'll help all of us keep the cost of software down and keep these companies in business. And some of you are going to say, well, don't keep Windows in business. But you know what? How many of you are running Windows on your machines and use it for your livelihood? You know, it's to me, it's a valuable tool that's on my desk. All right, there is kind of a funny graphic that's up. There's a Windows Vista display that someone has put up in their store. They've got it all set up. They don't have any Windows Vista boxes in there because they can't release them yet, of course. But up on the shelf has got a Windows Vista a DVD. It's basically someone's ripped Windows Vista DVD with a serial number in the whole nine yards. It's kind of funny to see it. I'll link it up in the show notes, and I'm sure it was put up there as a pun, but it just goes hand in hand with what we were talking about here a second ago about the HDVD DVD and the Blu-ray now being cracked, and so that people can you know, essentially bypass all the viewing restrictions. All right, the next article I find very fascinating. As all of you that run Windows know, whenever you've tried to do an update, you know, your system always does a Windows Genuine Advantage check and basically calls home to mama and makes sure that you have a valid copy of Windows running on your PC. Well, Microsoft has actually reported, and it said since its launch in July of 2005, over 512 million users have attempted to validate their copy of Windows. Of those 512 million that validated, 22.3% were non-genuine. So let's see here. Let me do some 122. It's about 112 million of those 512 million checks were non-genuine. Now, they're saying, though, that only 56,000 reports have been made by customers of counterfeit software, which grants that user free copy replacement. So very, very small. If you think about that, 112, 113 million non-genuine copies of Windows that are out there. Only 56,000 people were actually able to, I guess, make a valid report back to Microsoft and get their copy of Windows replaced. Now, that's striking. Think about that. 22% of those that did Windows Genuine Advantage. You know, it just goes to show you there's a lot of people out there copying software. Now, I would really love to see a breakdown of more of this data to find out where most of those invalid copies came from, find out if it's within the United States or outside, what the breakdown was by state, even if they could get into, you know, pulling, crossing it into census data to find out, you know, by neighborhoods and so forth. I'm sure there's just, you know, there's almost a thesis paper in that data alone, if they would ever release it alone or release all that information. But they're saying that Windows is going to be releasing more information on this as time goes on to kind of highlight what's been going on with their software. But it's pretty amazing. What do you guys think about those numbers? Would you think it would be higher? But with 512 million users attempting to validate, 114 million of them were running either known invalid copies of Windows, or there's been such a huge proliferation of actual codes or authentication codes. It's simply amazing. It really, really is. So this was up on betanews.com. Link it to it in the show notes, of course. Send me your feedback. Love to hear it. All right, 10 steps to make your firewall more secure. And this is some pretty basic stuff. If you are already a tech-savvy person, you probably don't need to follow this. And I did. This is kind of strikes me as funny. The very first thing it says, install SP2 on your Windows operating system. I actually had a technical podcaster within the last week or 10 days ago complaining to me that he couldn't install IE7 because he didn't have SP2 installed. And I said, well, just why don't you install SP2? And he replied back to me saying, is it free? Yeah, go out to Windows Update and get that. Download it and get it installed. You don't have to pay for SP2. Also, make sure you enable auto updates for your firewall, tweaking the settings for your usage. You know, go through and look at that, what applications it's allowed to make calls out, and you know, switch off those applications that have no reason to be accessing the internet. Keep settings consistent across networks and homes. Some of you guys are running more than one network within your home, so keep the settings consistent across many machines. It says adding multiple layers to your PC and security system. You know, that could be as simple as running a router that had a firewall built into it, then running a firewall within your actual operating system, and then within your browsers, making sure that you've got it set up so it doesn't allow pop-ups. You know, it's just all those little steps that you can to protect yourself. Use strong passwords. That's a given, folks. And I bet you, if I did a straw poll and you guys were willing to answer honestly, I bet you many of you use 2 or 3 variants of the same password for every password you use on the net. Don't do that. When you're going out to websites that you're signing up for, you know, use a random key generator that will generate the actual the password you're going to use. One of the applications that I use personally, and it's an actual application, I'm looking here for it on my desktop. I just closed. I can never remember the name of it, of course, is, oh gosh, isn't that terrible? I can't even see it here. Go down through, look. And for some reason, it's not, it's called KeePass. What a chucklehead I am. KeePass, KEEPASS. And that's the application I use to generate all my passwords. Of course, use 128-bit WIP WEP encryption on your wireless network. So anyway, there's a lot more stuff here that you can check out. Link will be up in the show notes at geeknewscentral.com. Now, in space news, I tell you, there's some subjects that if your kids read it, they would be scared to death. And this one makes your eyebrows raise a little bit, too. But I don't think any of us that are listening to this show, or even maybe 20 generations from now, will have to worry about, or 100, if we don't do something to ourselves first with this planet. But it says the Earth moon is destined to disintegrate. And they say, of course, now, as many of you know, the sun is midway through what's called stable hydrogen burn, and known as the main sequence. And they're saying that in about 5 billion years, the sun is going to enter the stage called the red giant phase. And when that happens, some very bad things are going to start to happen on Earth with the moon, with the orbit that's going on. Did you all know that the moon is now moving away from the Earth by the rate of 1.49 inches a year? So they're saying that in 5 billion years, the moon is going to be an additional 40% further out than what it is now, and the rotation of the Earth will be a lot slower, and there's just all this other stuff that they talk about here that just blows your mind if you really think about it in the sense of what could what's foreshadowed to come in the future. But this is just a good read, and it amazes me that scientists sit down and go through their studies and actually figure this stuff out and try to determine what's going to happen in 5 billion years. Now, why don't they figure out what's going to happen in 100 years, not in 5 billion? Because is it really going to matter in 100 years? That's what we need to know. That's where we need to know where we're going. You know, but I'm sure that in 1,000 years, someone's going to read this article and say, that person had no idea what they were talking about, because our studies will have gone so much further. But interesting read. I guess if nothing else, it gives you guys something to chew on and talk about around the kitchen table. It's one of those things to get the kids' eyebrows big. Okay, while we were at the Consumer Electronics Show, we stopped by the LG booth, and we were able to look at their Blu-ray disc and HDVD player. Now, I don't think I've got that video online yet, and if you're not aware of it, LG has come out with a dual disc or super multi-disc player that's available. I think it's cost nearly $900, but starting to hit the shelves now. It's called the LG BH100. And it got a lot of press, and they were really talking it up in the LG booth while we were at the Consumer Electronics Show. There was some question on the licensing that they were going through in order to be able to actually have the HD DVD logo. Now, the box still does not have the HD DVD logo on it. I think that was purely because maybe they've been a little bit slow in getting LG permission to actually use the logo. I'm sure these companies are not happy by having this player out there. It's good for consumers. We've talked about it on the show already. But if you want to see the unboxing of one, you can get a close-up look at what the unit looks like. I'm sure we're going to be seeing a lot of detailed feature reviews on different websites in the near future. I found this over on Engadget. Microsoft is reporting that a flash-based Zune is due in Q4 2007. It's going to be in conjunction, supposedly, with the 2007 European Zune launch. And they're saying that at that time, they're going to be rolling out a whole bunch of new features for the Zune. So for those of you that have a Zune, don't worry. It's forthcoming. And you know what? We sent a Zune out to a listener on this show, and we have yet to hear from that person. Hey, I'd love to hear what you think about the Zune we sent you. If nothing else, just give me the courtesy of a call to me that you got it. All right? I'd love to hear from you, and I'd love to hear what you think of it. It would definitely be appreciated. Anyway, enough on that. But anyway, lots more new Zune devices coming, Q4 2007, and we'll see if they unhinge some of the lockdown features within it. All right, Buffalo has come out with a beefy bandwidth booster, and if those of you are having problems with traveling with your laptop, getting a good Wi-Fi signal, this baby looks like is the master plan to increase your signal base when you're roaming with your laptop. Don't have the price on this thing yet. It's pretty ugly, but anything ugly like this has to do the job. Don't you know that when there's something that comes out in electronics and it's not pretty, it typically is on the inside engineered very good, because generally the engineers were the one that came up with the casings as well. But this thing will attaches to the back of your laptop with suction cups, and got some good reviews on it. And I'm going to definitely be checking this out myself as well. Find out what the price break is on it, and see if it if I can get one. Okay, browser compatibility. If you have launched a new website like I did, you may want to check out a website that actually allows you to do full-blown browser compatibility testing. And I didn't know this site existed until today, and this came from Robin Good's website. It's called BrowserCam, and it is not a free site, unfortunately. $19.95 for 24 hours worth of usage, or like $60 for a month. So, you know, for those of you that are full-time developers, you probably already know about this. And it would be a great site to, boy, does anybody know of an open source site that does the same thing that's free? But, you know, you put in a URL in the system and it loads up your website in multiple browsers, gives you the view of what it will actually look on operating systems, different window sizes, the whole nine yards. But Robin takes you through the video review of the website. I am definitely going to be playing with this probably the next weekend, because I've heard some incompatibility issues come back from some of you on the site, and definitely want to get it as cleaned up as possible so it's accessible by all browser users. But actually, one thing that popped up was some Mac users has reported back, even using Firefox, that the text on the website appeared white on the title tags, and it should be blue in the font that we've set up. So if you're not seeing blue title tags, then that is a bug on our side at Geek News Central. All right, on Robin Good's Sherwood Picnic number 87, he talks about best new media tools of the week. And JuiceCaster is in the list. So here is we're going to have them on the roundtable this Sunday, number 2 in Robin Good's list. He also talks about Yahoo Go, talks about Peerbox Mobile, talk about Your Vids, Fring, Phonifier, Skyscanner, Photocrank, Vixio, MessageMe. That's just a few of the sites he's got listed on this new media tools for mobile services of the week on Sherwood Picnic number 87. All right, I'm going to talk about this article. I don't know if I'm going to link it, because New York Times is famous for letting stuff go behind the firewall, but there's more rumors that the record labels are contemplating unrestricted digital music. And we've been hearing a little bit about this from time to time, and you know, I really think that at some point the labels are going to have to really wake up and smell the roses and understand that if they can't beat them, they have to join them. And by joining them, giving us DRM-free music, you know, and make music affordable, so that the artists still get paid, and that we can get tracks, you know, delivered digitally in high-quality format. You know, what would you guys pay? What would you all pay for high fidelity audio files that weren't wrapped in DRM? You know, what is it worth to you, those of you that are audio buffs? Can you handle the 128 bit rate MP3s that you're getting today? Or would you rather have a much higher bit rate, different format, lossless format audio file? You know, what would you like, you know, if it was DRM free? And what would you be willing to pay for an all-you-can-eat type service? That is one thing I must say that the Zune is pretty cool about, is that you can subscribe to the media service, and it's an all-you-can-eat service. You can download anything you want that's in their library. I do think that is a pretty cool service. Too bad, you know, why doesn't Apple go to that? Because they're making too much money on the 99-cent singles, that's why. All right, I'm new website that's out, and the only reason I'm going to link to it is because it was wrote up by a blogger that I trust, and he's actually seen the inside of this thing. It's called Stolen ID Search. It's stolenidsearch.com. You can put your social security number or credit card numbers in the search box, and then it will query its database. It's got more than 2.3 million comprised numbers in its database, and they went out and went through all the binary sites, all the different news groups, and have found a lot of different, a lot of data that should not be on the net, and they've organized that so that you can find it. I went ahead and entered my Social Security number, and I was lucky it came back clean. And you can put credit card numbers, driver's license stuff. And, you know, I've done that in Google from time to time as well. I think it's advisable for all of you to try to do that to make sure that your data that you're using, if you're using a specific credit card on the net all the time, make sure that that credit card is not being reported somewhere. You know, keep an eye on your statements because, you know, it just takes one knucklehead to get a hold of your data to just completely ruin your life. And I subscribe to a service that actually sends me alerts whenever my credit gets pinged or even there's activity that seems to be abnormal. And that's worked out really well, and I do pay for that service. All right, we've heard, that the folks over at Performancing, they've got a great blogging application that they had actually had to rename when they were, Performancing was working on a deal with the pay-per-post folks. Well, since that's fell through, it appears that the Performancing company is no more. This is another site that we're going to add to the dead pool. Performancing closed their advertising network called Performancing Partners today, and their metric service, a separate product, was closed when the acquisition by PaperPost fell through earlier this month. So it's unknown what's going to be happening here with the actual blogging application, but it's too bad. Those guys had a good thing going on there for a while, and another company bites the dust. All right, Make Blog has a cool article, and I knew this was possible before, but, you know, we've been delivering video, we've been delivering audio via RSS enclosures, but, you know, you really can deliver anything via an enclosure. And we're starting to see, and I've seen this from time to time, are listings within the podcasting listings on iTunes that have, instead of having audio files, they've got PDFs linked to them. So PDFs on training things or just informational type stuff. So there's a number of those available on iTunes that the actual people put in their feeds, PDFs versus, excuse me, I yawned on you. Versus audio files. So I'll link this article up from MakeZine.com. And, of course, a good friend, Philip Tarone, still works over there at PT. And it's a great magazine. If you're not subscribed to it and you're a geek, that's one you're really, really missing out. There's an article out over on IntelAdmin.com. Talks about the five sins of Vista. And I'm going to go through this real quickly. The new file browsing interface is broken. Number two, the new start menu sucks. Number three, Windows networking is a mess. Number four, Windows search is broken. Number five, Windows copying has not improved. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that Windows copying has always been, like, slow, and it just, like, brings your system to its knees? So I'll let you look at those a little closer. All right, I got to give you a little background on this one. When my wife and I first got married, I was heavy into the bulletin board space, and it actually caused a little bit of a rift when we were first married, and I wasn't spending enough time with my new spouse, spending a lot of time with the computer, and she always accused me of being married to my computer, and I learned very, very quickly that if I wanted to a happy household, there would have to be a balance. And I know that probably all of us have gotten in trouble from our spouse from time to time for spending too much time on the PC and not enough time with them or with the kids. So it's always been a challenge for me to be able to keep that balance in check. And every once in a while, I have to remind myself to push the PC, close the lid on the PC, turn the monitor off, walk away from it, and get some quality family time. But a new study has found out that 65% of Americans spend more time with their computers than their spouse and on average waste 12 hours a month fixing computer problems. That blows me away. 12 hours a month fixing computer problems? You know what that probably equals to is your one crash a year when you have to spend a whole weekend putting one back together. But hopefully with this new Windows Home server, that will be a thing of the past. I'm stoked about that. I can't wait for that application to come out. But it says, if you ask most Americans in a committed relationship which they prefer, their partner or their computer, most would probably answer truthfully, or at least politely, that of course their spouse, partner, or significant other is much more important to them. Boy, I bet you there are some of you that are thinking, wife, computer. And so it goes into a growing problem. You know, that's one of the reasons why my wife and I set up our office the way we did, so that her desk was, we face each other. So she's on one side, I'm on the other. She doesn't come up here on show nights, but generally when we're, you know, we're done taking care of stuff in the house, we'll come up here in the office. She'll be on the desktop doing whatever she's doing, and we can chat back and forth, and it works out well. It's a good trade-off. And of course, then we have our mandated scheduled downtimes away from the PC as well. And how many of you have gotten a look from your significant other, girlfriend, or whatever? Take my advice. When I was newlywed a number of years ago, I spent way, way, way too much time on my computer, and it caused a rift in my marriage, and I don't want that to happen to any of you. Now, I'm sure there's been divorces because of computers or gaming or, you know, any type of excessive behavior when you're spending too much time looking at a screen and not spending time conversing with the real world. So find that balance, folks. And same thing will go with the podcast. You know, get those things rolling when you've got extra time, and don't let it interfere with your family life. That's for sure. All right, as always, I'm at 46 minutes tonight, and I've got three articles left. And I guess I'm going to cover one of these. But what I plan on doing is finding more articles that I can possibly talk about, and then I'm going to put four or five of those articles that I don't necessarily discuss in the show. In the show notes, you guys can still get access to them, even though I thought they were good, but they really necessarily didn't make the cut on the actual show. But the last few articles I want to reference you to is to talk about a worm called Storm that's out raising a lot of havoc right now, causing email to be the amount of spam coming in. Talk about something that's going on with the India space program where they were able to recover a satellite. Talking a little bit more about Zune 2.0. Article about the RIAA telling the Consumer Electronics Association president that he's done a lot of damage to them, making them look evil. This is a pretty interesting article that where Shapiro got smacked down here last week in Cannes in France. So that'll be a good read for you. And also, the MPAA is making some small changes to movie rating systems. These will all be in the show notes, along with a link to the top 10 worst domain names out there. Some of these are pretty funny. You know, you go out and you're trying to find a domain, you put one together, and you set up a website on it to only realize that your domain name could, instead of being read by expertsexchange.com, it can be read a different way. So look at these, and I think you'll get a good laugh out of them, because whoever in their right mind, you know, these were companies that were actually trying to come up with cool names that add dual meanings. I think you'll get a good laugh out of them. All right, let me go ahead and cue up the first audio comment of the night. Let's knock these out. I've got four or five, and then we have, of course, some email comments as well.
Hey, Todd, this is Matt. Listened to your show for quite some time. I just wanted to give you a little heads up. I know you mentioned the bill that's currently in the Senate that would kind of kill grassroots things, not kind of, but really would. I wanted to let your listeners know that they should call their senators and ask for them to vote and support the Bennett Amendment, which would actually strike the language of the grassroots, the lobbyist of the grassroots origins, your bloggers and those kinds of people. And that would allow them to pass the bill that has some good language in it about not letting lobbyists sway way they do currently, but still allowing those of us who want to be involved in ways as far as the grassroots are concerned and still be in there. So just wanted to let you know about that. Thanks for the great show. Talk to you later. Bye.
Hey, thanks for that. I tell you what, I really need to dig out that legislation's bill number. But the Bennett Amendment is what he's referring to that will strike some of that bad language for the grassroots initiative. So I'll see what I can find on that. And if the caller has a link to the actual to the bill and anything additional, I'd love to get that from you. Geeknews@gmail.com. All right, here's the next audio comment.
Hey, Todd, this is Lloyd from West Covina, California. Just calling to let you know that your comments on Vista Ultimate only running on higher-end system, nothing older than 2 years, you said. Well, I've got already an early release of Vista Ultimate running on my desktop computer, which is 4 years old. It's a Pentium 4 with 2.4 gigahertz and 768 megabytes of RAM. It runs okay. I've got an upgraded video card in my AGP card slot, but it still runs just fine. I mean, for you to say something like, well, you need to have nothing older than 2 years, I think might sound a little bit uneducated, might have to say, but it will run with older systems. It does recommend that I upgrade to a faster processor, but it runs fine for the things I'm doing. I'm not video editing or music editing or anything like that, but it still runs fine just for a usage. All right, thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Hey, thanks for the call. And, you know, I guess the key here is if you're running Windows Vista Ultimate and you said you had an upgraded video card. Now, that's the kicker. How many people that are out there that are using their computers today that have bought off-the-shelf computers have upgraded their video cards? If they're a gamer, yeah, they may have a $200 or $300 video card in that machine. Unless you have a high-end video graphics card, and I don't know what the cutoff is on how much RAM or speed the whole nine yards is, you can't get all the benefits out of Windows Vista Ultimate. Now, all the press so far has been saying you need to have a pretty high-end machine to run this, you need a newer machine. Just all you got to do, if anybody's in doubt, you got to go over to the Windows site. They've got an application that you can download. It runs your machine through a series of tests, and it'll tell you whether or not your machine is Windows Vista ready. Now, here's the kicker, though. If you've got a bunch of XP applications that you really, really love and some stuff that's maybe not super mainstream, you need to start sending emails to those vendors asking them if their applications work with Windows Vista, if they're coming out with patches, if they're going to optimize them, whatever they may do or whatever they may need to do to make your upgrade not as painful. I think that what we're going to find is that we're going to have a lot of people that are going to go out and buy Windows Vista because they want to get the new operating system. They're going to load it on their machine, and they're going to find out that not all of their XP applications are going to run effectively or maybe not run at all on Windows Vista. So this is that's a kicker there. And if you're like me, I think I probably got 50, 60 programs loaded that I use on my machine here. So that gives you an indication. I would have to, you know, I need to go to each of those sites and look. Now, unless I'm willing to give up the application for the upgrade, I think that's the kicker there. So, okay, I'll step back and say if you've got a machine, you know, I think that you're maybe the exception for your machine. Okay, I'll just let you run the tester. That's what you guys do. But for those of us that are running stock video cards, we may not be able to run all those great features of Vista and, you know, the glass screen, the whole nine yards. So we'll leave it at that. And I'm sure we'll have some people call in. Again, I'm not running any machines here on Vista right now, so I'm just going upon what is being commonly referred to in the press and what different review sites are saying. But download that application to test it out. Here's the next audio comment.
Hey, Todd, it's Brian in New York City. I wanted to say thanks for always keeping us up to date with what's happening with the IRAA and the political and legal issues involved with that. I know it's not as fun as a straight-up tech talk stuff, but it's you know, it's just as important or more important. And we don't exactly hear this stuff on the big news networks or see it in the front pages of the newspapers. I mean, you know, it really affects all of us, and you do your part by keeping us informed. And, you know, we should take your advice and contact our elected officials, you know, and let them know how you feel. I mean, if we ignore this stuff, one day you might find yourself saying to your grandson, boy, I can remember the golden age of the Internet when you paid one price and you could access the whole World Wide Web. Sorry, I'm on a bit of a rant, but...
It's okay.
I was really shocked by that lobbying bill thing. When I first heard about it, I thought it only applied to people who were paid to blog. So I went back and read your link, and the story said that the bill would require reporting of paid efforts to stimulate grassroots lobbying. But it defines paid merely as communications to 500 or more members of the public. It's nuts. I don't really understand that. I don't know. I'd love to hear some follow-up on it if you hear anything else about it. It's really insane. I think it's just an excuse for the big corporate players to take the voice away from the little guy. I mean, God forbid, you know, if we could get some news from GNC instead of one of the big news networks. I mean, we may actually hear some news like, you know, Sony stuffing our music with spyware, and God knows we don't need to hear about that. And also that thing about the IFPI trying to sue the ISPs in the UK. It's pretty crazy, too. Wouldn't that be like us suing the Department of Highways because people are speeding on the interstate? Or suing Texas because they're letting illegal aliens cross the border? I could go on forever. I'm going to fill up your whole mailbox. Anyway, thanks again for keeping us informed, and I'd love to hear some follow-up on any of that stuff.
Dude.
All right. Thanks.
Dude, you need a podcast, my friend. We need to get you started, get you a platform, and just let you go for about 30 minutes. Send me an email. I'd love to get you podcasting. I really, really would. Great stuff. Hey, if I get some more feedback for you, I'll definitely put it in a pile here and get it out. But yeah, pretty nuts on some of the stuff that's going out there. You know, they're after our freedom of speech and going after our First Amendment rights in a big way. And we need to watch this stuff. We really, really do. It's a lot of craziness going on in D.C. And a lot of times, most of these legislators, they just don't have a clue about technology. And then those that do have a clue, you know, they're being paid up by all these outside organizations in ways that cause a lot of harm to fair use to people that are out there. All right, let's. The last comment comes from Sal. Sal, you guys remember Sal? Sal's back. He's got some comments for me. Sets me straight on a couple things, but I may have to argue with Sal at the end of his voicemail here.
Hey, Todd, it's Sal from New York.
Hey, Sal.
Listening to your podcast from last Friday. Want to clarify something for you. You were talking about how Apple needs to charge a nominal fee to basically turn on the 802.11n for those people that have Core 2 Duo machines and want to be able to use the new Airport Extreme. And you were sort of making fun of, you know, saying that it's quote-unquote an accounting situation. Well, it's actually true, and if you look up the information, you'll see it's Sarbanes-Oxley Act of 2002. Because they are a publicly traded company, they have to comply with certain regulations, and one of those is that they cannot give away those kinds of free... I guess, features to their products. The machines already have the capability of 802.11n, and by turning it on, they would be giving it away free. You know, the people did buy Airport Extreme with 802.11g, so they do have to charge a nominal fee, and $1.99 is the actual fee. It is a nominal fee just to comply with the Sarbanes-Oxley Act. And all this law was actually created due to the whole Enron Tyco International Peregrine Systems fiasco that happened. And that's why the fee is being charged. So it's something that Apple has to do to comply, and it's still they kept it very nominal. Come on, $2, you get 802.11n. You're right, it's a small fee, but they do have to charge for it. Okay, hope that helps and clarifies things for you. Bye.
Hey, Sal, thanks for calling and setting the record straight, but I did see something tonight, and I wish I would have saved the link. I already had everything queued up on the show, and I didn't feel it was worthy of the repertoire tonight, but if I knew before I had everything queued up that you were going to send me a voicemail, I would have kept that one. Basically, what I read, and I'll see if I can find a link for you, is that the SEC has actually responded to what Apple has said, and the SEC has said, what are they talking about? That's not required. And so the SEC has basically come back and told them that accounting fee is definitely not required. You know, you're right, it's $2, who cares? I guess it's on the principle of it, right? You know, $2? You know, it costs them more than that to do the credit card transaction, you know, to be honest with you. Or at least 60 cents of the transaction is probably credit card cost. Okay, let's get into some of the show comments. But hey, thanks for calling back, Sal. I'd love to hear you some more, hear from you. And I got an email from Jed. And for those, I got some Sprint people that listen to this show and got a problem for you, though, folks. Jed saying, hey, first of all, I said, love the CES coverage. Thanks for that. Appreciate it. And he says, definitely the site needs some sort of new branded logo. He said he liked the oversized G before. But here's the comment he has about Sprint. He says, I've been a Sprint customer since 2001. I've been offered up around $8,000 in service fees in that time. I have many issues with them, none the actual coverage. I've had many problems with them, but haven't switched carriers because they have pretty darn good coverage and I'm lazy. Anyway, I recently purchased the Motorola KRZR K1M phone from them. My last phone was a clunky Trio 650 that worked great in text message and home defense. Very heavy for a phone. I love the size and look of the phone. I was sold on the phone when the Sprint sales rep told me that it would sync with both Windows Media Player. I have a 1 gigabyte micro SD card in it for music, and it would sync contact info out of Outlook. So far, I haven't been able to do either. Customer service doesn't want to help, and I am really wanting to get full use of my phone. Have you heard of any solid websites or other resources I can go to learn out to how to get the full use out of my phone? Remove the micro SD card and slapping it into a card reader every time I want to add it or remove MP3s gets old real fast. Maybe some of the listeners have the same device and can help out. Great show last Friday. Thanks, Jed. All right, Sprint customer service people, my good friends at Sprint, can we help Jed out? Again, the phone is a Motorola KRZR K1M phone, and it's not doing what the service rep said it would, and he needs some help. Any help that you guys can give, or anybody that's got any information on this, let's see if we can help Jed out and put our resources to work here. And I got an email from Dredd. He said, hey, just want to say thanks for all the great CS2000 coverage. You guys did a wonderful job. Also love the 2.0 version of the Geek News Central website. Nice and clean. We approve. I attend the Macworld 2007 and figured you might get a kick out of a photo I took and posted on Flickr of all the people who simply could not staring at their iPhone. Also check out the Colbert review skit over at YouTube and his take on the AT&T singular name change. I'll get those links in the listener links tonight. Got an email from Tony. He said, hey, Todd, I'm a longtime listener. I used to wait eagerly for Twit each week, but your podcast has of late replaced Twit. Oh, I'm going to tell you what, Tony. That's the first email of that type I've got. And yes, give me a pin. I have to pop my head. Thank you so much. I would only hope that I could ever even come barely close to, you know, being as good as Leo does. Leo has a great show over there. And he's earned his audience with every show that he's put out, excellent information. But hey, if you want to listen to this show versus Twit, hey, thanks so much for doing so. But anyway, he says, I downloaded Rootkit Unhooker and got a weird error message from it. Something about it finding a rootkit in itself. That's kind of scary. Maybe that's because it detected itself locating itself where it's detecting things. Makes sense. Don't waste your time. I was just checking if anyone else had any problems with this program. Thanks for a great podcast. Now, that concerns me, Tony, but those links come from a pretty reputable website, but I am definitely going to see what I can find out about that, what's going on with that, if there's anything in the forums. If you find anything, I'd love to hear more information back from you on that. Got an email from Adrian. Hey, Todd, this is Adrian. Listen to the podcast since show number 184. I'm only 14. I'm just wondering if you could tell me or send me the font that you use in the website titles and logo. I think it looks really cool. Thanks. Adrian, it's Libel. L-I-B-E-L is the name of the font. There's the secret is out. That's the font for the Geek News Central website. Got an email from John. He said, you hit on a major pet peeve of mine. Managers and corporations that require dress codes are idiotic. The attitude that shows we gain IQ points by wearing a suit but somehow lose 100 IQ points by wearing jeans is archaic and infuriating. It's so important. If it's so important, do these companies expect telecommuters to get dressed up when working from home as well? You hit it right on the head when you said that the suit is nothing if the person wearing it is a blubbering idiot. It's absolutely staggering to me that there are people out there who honestly believe that the style of the cotton that we wear on the outside of our body somehow is indicative of what's inside. And that reminds me of a story, John. I have to tell you about a roommate I had in Guam who had a very significant insurance settlement, and talk about how we went shopping one time, and he was a very unkempt individual. That day of shopping proved to me, if nothing else, that sometimes people, they won't look any deeper than what we have wearing on our clothes on our back. That's for sure. Okay, got an email from Lon. He says, hey, I use Clearwire too. They've been really good service. Just remember the backside of the antenna is the receiver side, and then use it to aim the antenna at the tower. I know all about that, Lonnie. Thanks. Says, I have high tension power lines running in between my antenna and the downtown antenna for my town. It acts like a firewall, all the electric static and such, but the antenna 15 miles south of my house commonly gives me 4 light bars on the antenna. 2 light bars is 1.5 gigs times 768 kilobits. 4 lights on top bars over 2 megs a second. I'm very happy with it. Cool. Got an email from Tom and a link. Actually, what he did is he gave me a link to a website. It's actually, I blogged about it. It's called the Julia Miro case. And if you haven't been reading Geek News Central, please do so. It's got the info. Last email of the night I got more is from a long-term listener, Bree. She says, Todd, I would much rather spend my hard-earned tax money on SETI and space-related research than the Iraq War. Thanks, Bree. Hey, thanks, Bree. Thanks for your comment. And thanks for everyone for sending your voicemails, sending your emails as well. And we'll be back with you again with another edition of the Geek News Central podcast on Friday. Send your comments to 619-342-7365 or geeknews@gmail.com. And look at that. We are long again. All right. Time to quit for tonight. All right, folks. Take care and aloha.